are you? You're not real.
Bring yourself back online.
Do you know where you are?
I'm in a dream.
You're in my dream.
That is from HBO's Westworld, a dystopian look at a depraved world filled with artificially intelligent and eventually vengeful and murderous robots. So if you're looking for an uplift, you can check that one out. And on that chipper note, Hiawatha Bray is here to talk AI, artificial intelligence, in this week's edition of Tech Talk. Hey there, Hiawatha.
Glad to be here.
All right, so listen, we are talking in particular about an open source AI platform. It's called ChatGPT, and we have touched on this before, but just remind people what it is and what it does.
Well, it's kind of a long story. About 2015, a bunch of people, including Elon Musk, started this company called OpenAI, and their whole goal was to do something, not AI, but AGI, which is the concept of artificial general intelligence. They are ultimately trying to build intelligences that are basically indistinguishable from human.
Widely applicable.
Exactly.
Okay.
They are nowhere near doing it, but they have done some amazing stuff. And one of them is this AI system known as GPT-3, which they have little by little been letting the world get a look at. The underlying ability of GPT-3 to understand both text and images is absolutely astonishing. Now, last week or two, they've released a particular version of this, which is being called ChatGPT, which is designed to be a conversational AI. But they've had other versions of products that work on the same principle. We talked last time about DALL-E.
Right.
That uses the same basic set of technologies called GPT-3, but in that case, it makes pictures. I'm just waiting for them to bring out one that composes music. I don't know. It's just a matter of time. All of these are based on this concept called large language models. They basically went out and just found billions of documents on the internet, fed it into a machine which generates what they call a neural network that learns to make interrelationships between all the various documents that it's been fed and to figure out how one thing relates to another. And it turns out that by guiding this process and allowing it to happen automatically, you can develop machines that do incredible things.
All right. So you know that this stuff makes my eyebrows go up. I can't physically raise one eyebrow, but if I could,
that's
what I would be doing.
I grew up on Star Trek. I wanted to do that.
There you go. I can't do it. All right. So here's the thing about this. You have said in your writing that even the people who have designed it don't entirely understand how it works.
That's right.
I want to know how that is even possible.
We're not sure how it's even possible, but there's been a lot of writing about it. By the way, there's a great recent book out written by, of all people, Henry Kissinger and Eric Schmidt, the founder or one of the former CEO.
Because, of course,
the former CEO of Google works with Henry Kissinger to write this book. And it's actually a pretty good overview of how this happens. And one of the things that they point out is that time and again, there have been these major breakthroughs achieved through AI, and the scientists involved are sitting there going, wait a minute, we don't know how the computer knew how to do that.
Because it basically figured it out by itself.
It figures stuff out by itself, and it makes relationships between data that humans would never see. Let me give you an example from my own experience. I wrote this story. I think we talked about it before. The story about the study that came out of a bunch of universities,
yes,
including MIT.
We talked about this 4 or 5 months ago.
The X-rays, the system, the AI system that can look at an X-ray and say, that's a black person, that's a white person, that's an Asian person. Human beings have no idea how it knows. There's nothing.
And they didn't program it to do
that. They didn't program it to do that. What they did was they took a bunch of X-rays of black people and said, this is an X-ray of somebody who happens to be black. This is an X-ray of somebody who happens to be white. So then they took a bunch of X-rays that weren't marked at all. And it said black person, white person, Asian person, with about 90% accuracy. No one has any idea what it sees in those X-rays that tells it that.
Okay.
And that keeps happening with AI. It's cool and it's fascinating. The only reason it's worrisome is because we're starting to use AI to do really important stuff.
And this is why we picked Westworld instead of
exactly.
Free Guy, right, for our quote here, right? So tell us, what is some of this really important stuff that AI, which is learning on its own,
right,
and we don't fully understand how it's working, is now working on?
Medical diagnostic stuff, for example. I mean, there was a few years ago a research study that found that a computer program had figured out a way to use healthcare spending as a proxy for a person's medical condition. And they hadn't trained the data to explain to the computer that spending less for healthcare does not mean you're not, it doesn't mean you're less sick. It might mean you have less money. And sure enough, the program was giving recommendations that involved giving less healthcare to black people. not because they were black, but because they tended to have less money and tended historically to spend less on healthcare.
And it inaccurately interpreted that as having fewer health problems.
Exactly.
Which, now, of course, all the research would show.
Right.
Right.
Now, of course, in all fairness, that's a case where we knew what was wrong. And that's another thing we have to worry about. There are all the cases where we know why the AI gets it wrong when we stop and look. We look at the fact that it was fed biased data, or it was only fed partial data. The classic example, of course, is why it is that facial recognition programs tend to do a lousier job on black people. It's because they haven't been trained properly. They haven't been feeding them enough data of black faces. And you could probably fix that problem that way. But I was talking to an assistant professor at MIT recently who told me that we are so confused about what AIs are doing that if we even gave them perfect data, they might still come up with these just crazy associations because we don't know what they are seeing that makes them think
X versus Y.
Right. We don't know exactly what they're doing. The only reason this is, like I said, a problem is they're doing it for medical. There are some AIs that are being used to decide whether or not people get let out on bail. There are, of course, facial recognition and so on. This can be brought under control as long as we remember to treat our AIs as assistants, helping us make decisions. What's worrisome is, because this is not the AI's fault, this is human nature. The story was like last year of a guy who got arrested in Michigan for shoplifting because a facial recognition program, which of course is built around AI, said, this looks like the guy. Now, if you talk to the companies that make this software, they will tell you, you are not supposed to just look at this and say, that's the guy.
What if he had a twin?
Exactly. You're supposed to look at it and say, this is an investigative tool. You use it as a help. You then proceed to investigate the guy and get more information. But the human beings using the AI, they did what? Remember the old days when we used to look at the internet and said, well, it must be true. It's on the internet.
Okay. So what you're basically arguing, all right. So what you're basically arguing is, as long as people behave well, this is not a problem. I'm not
sure
I buy that, Hiawatha.
I'm saying it's less of a problem anyway. It depends on where we are putting these things in our society. And that's another issue that I'm starting to work on because this is something that's been bothering me for a while. How many, for example, corporations or governments even know that they are using AI to do certain things?
How could they not know?
Well, because this has nothing to do with the AI. This has to do with human nature. Nobody does audits of this stuff. Most big businesses probably don't even know what software they've got running in a lot of their departments. And I mean, in many cases, the department has a spending authority to go out and buy something. They think it's going to be a good product. They put it into their particular system, and nobody even knows it's out there.
And to keep in mind here, something like this ChatGPT can be employed right now by a large company to write marketing material.
They're already doing it. I'm running about a company called Writer. It was founded by a former assistant managing editor of the Harvard Crimson. She's now out in San Francisco, and she's using GPT-3 that's been specially modified. They feed data about their clients, like one of their clients is Spotify, another one is Intuit, another one is Cisco Systems. These are huge companies. They feed piles of data about those companies into GPT-3 and tell it, okay, now write marketing material about our latest router or our latest music playlist or something like that. And instead of having a human being write this marketing material, they just push a button, it comes out, a human edits it and tweaks it, and they just put it online.
And you're saying lots of governments and companies don't know that in their departments, this kind of AI, artificial intelligence, is what's doing the work.
That's right. I mean, and not only that, a lot of citizens don't know. I was talking to a guy, he's a former U.S. attorney. He's now working at the University of Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is one of the few cities in America that is actually doing something about this. They've got this whole group of people who are studying every function in government, figuring out what functions in the government are using AI to do various things, like, figuring out financial benefits for low-income people, to all kinds of stuff. And it turns out they are using AI in all kinds of operations that many people don't even know about. So their job is to make sure the public knows the AI is in there, and to make sure that the people who are running these services know that they are using, that some of their stuff that they are making, they're basing their decisions on, are coming out of AI systems. And so they have to take that into account.
Doesn't it seem like a state that's home to everything from MIT to Worcester Polytechnic ought to be on the vanguard of this kind of thing?
I'm trying to find out how much about that's being done. I know there's supposed to be, I think somebody was supposed to be setting up some kind of a task force here in Massachusetts as well. This is something that just isn't being carefully thought about yet, because a lot of these technologies haven't really, they're only just beginning to be deployed, and we're not thinking them through.
But as I understand it from you, Hiawatha, although they're just beginning to be deployed, it turns out now they're being deployed fast, and they're learning fast, and they're growing fast.
Absolutely. And there are some people, like, you know, we had the story yesterday. You saw the story about if you had these things writing news stories for the Boston Globe. That was hilarious.
Yeah, so that was a colleague of yours. Yeah. And one of the things that we pulled that was kind of interesting, I'm trying to find it here because I have it written down, was asking it to write a biblical verse in the style of the King James Bible explaining how to remove a peanut butter sandwich from a VCR. And it wrote, and he cried out to the Lord saying, "Oh Lord, how can I remove this sandwich from my VCR? For it is stuck fast and will not budge."
Oh, that's wonderful. Although it is interesting to note that we don't get the thee and the thy kinds of things. But it's just a matter of time. It depends on how focused that is. I mean, if you remember reading the pure old-fashioned King James Bible, all those weird words that nobody uses anymore, they might even get to the point of being able to do that.
So the last thing I want to hit on in our remaining time is people will lose jobs.
Will they? I'm not sure. I mean, I think it depends on the people. Yeah. I mean, are there going to be fewer copywriters? There might be, but you're going to have them moving up the chain into being editors. It might mean that there's going to be a huge amount of additional just junk flying around in the world. Some people are saying this could be a revival of spam, because the spam, you know how we have spam filters nowadays that are really very effective because they can spot really false, spammy type of material. It's just possible that these kings could write spam so smooth and elegant that existing spam filters wouldn't notice it, and our inboxes will start filling up again.
So then you need new people to write new code, and you need new content moderators. So you're saying you believe the work will shift as opposed to go away.
Yeah, I mean, that's happening with all kinds of stuff that I end up writing about. It's like the whole robotics thing, where are robots going to put people out of business in things like warehouses where robots are being hugely successful? I don't think it's going to have that effect, because the turnover in that business is so great that there's never going to be enough people to work in that field. I think the real concern is, do we know what these machines are doing? How much responsibility do we want to give them? I mean, we're even talking about putting them in military operations and having, you know, robot fighter planes and things like that. I think that's something we should be really careful about.
Will you continue to watch that?
Oh, yeah, you bet.
So we'll continue to talk to you about it. That is this week's Tech Talk with Hiawatha Bray, technology writer for the Boston Globe. I enjoy talking to you so much, and sometimes you also scare the dickens out of me all at once. Thanks for being here.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been great.